Now, I didn't mean it in a derogatory fashion when I said these missionaries were crazy. But nevertheless, they are. And all of our missionaries are going and doing things that maybe some of us would like to do, but at some point in their lives, they decided we're going to do it. And we're happy to partner with them. We send support because they are our hands and feet all across the world. And Nathan and Christina have a very unique ministry to the church. And I'm sure they're going to describe that very well. So without any further ado, may I have, I present to you Nathan and Christina, together or separately, or walk, he's walking behind her. I don't know how that's working out. Welcome.
Do we talk here or there?
You're right here.
Right here. Right there. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Thank you for having us come out here. And just to be back in the UP again feels great, breathing that fresh air. I mean, I grew up coming up here to Deer Camp and then have had a lot of family move. I know you guys know a lot of Hammerbergs around here, and my parents just moved up here, so we just keep showing up, and you guys keep letting us, so thank you for that.
We were driving, and you guys, like, deer ran across the road, then a pheasant, a beautiful pheasant went there, and then 2 seconds later, a whole herd of turkeys, and then what did we see? It was just, like, nuts. We're like, what is this place?
It's refreshing, yeah. Honestly. I've been all over the world now. We are a little bit crazy, I'm not going to lie. I mean, some of the places we've gone, I mean, to Libya.
I was pregnant in Libya during a militia takeover.
I lived close to the Afghanistan border for a while. I've been to Oman, some of these places. I mean, guys riding around with machine guns. But I'll tell you what, there's no place like the UP. There's no comparison. And honestly, what that comes down to, part of what makes it so special is you guys. Mm-hmm. The people here... It's just a warm, welcoming place, and it just feels so great to be able to come up here and to share with you guys what the Lord's been doing around the world and what he's been doing in our lives and ministry. So we have gone through a little bit of a transition that Christina will kind of fill you in on about exactly where we're living now and exactly what we're doing now. So.
Just so you know, if you don't know us, Christina, and we have been, you guys have supported us for, I think, a decade. I might be wrong, but I think
a long time.
We've been serving in Egypt and the greater Middle East, North Africa area for 10 years now. But we actually recently had to make a transition because, 3-4 years ago, he was in a terrible mountain biking accident that actually rocked his frontal lobe. So he may look normal to you.
Don't answer
He's
that.
Not. So he actually, 2 years ago, had a mental breakdown in Egypt. We had a toddler and a newborn, and his head injury, we had no idea how bad it was going to be until we went back. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Middle East, but it's like kind of a wild place, and it's kind of everybody just yells at each other to communicate, and like if you don't get run off the road, that's a good day, you know, like, it's a very stressful, you know, place, and we never really shared, like, really some of our intenser stories, because we have family, and we don't ever want to make them worried or anything, and but it's an intense place, and so when he had his mental breakdown, we were like, okay, we need to do something different. And that's when a team called Media to Movements actually got a hold of us. And so we're both kind of techie, really into photography and videography. We do a lot of graphic designing. And so the Lord blessed us with this ministry that we do now. We're still doing it to the Middle East, but we actually get to do it to even broader people were in Asia, anywhere where there's unreached people groups, which I'll let Nathan tell you more about. But the scope of what we do now is such a blessing because we're in places we never dreamed we'd get to go, and we're seeing more fruit than we did in the 10 years that we were going into these other places in Egypt and Iran and Iraq and all these, no, not Iraq, Iran, right? Yeah, sorry, there's so many. So we're so blessed that this group was like, hey, you walk with a limp. I actually have an illness that causes pretty chronic pain. And so this has been such an amazing thing because the Lord is like, hey, you're not done yet. And we can still use you. So today we wanted to talk to you about just because our location has changed doesn't mean our calling has. And I think that we all, you all have a collective call to fulfill the Great Commission. And if you don't know what the Great Commission is, you should ask your pastor or look it up or turn to your neighbor and be like, what's the Great Commission? And I think our individual call fits within that, okay? So I want Nathan to just discuss the roadmap for today is we're going to discuss, like, what our calling has been to the 1040 window. And then as we're doing that, I just ask that you would ask the Lord, like, hey, what is my individual call, and how does that fit in the Great Commission? Because whether you know it or not, you actually fit into that. We all have a part to play, really. So I'll let you go ahead and keep going.
Yeah, the gospel goes on. And that's what I got to say is there's challenges always. And the places in the world where we work, less than 2% of missionaries go to places like this. Less than 1% of missions giving is directed towards countries like this. And there's a reason why. I mean, you hear these names like Afghanistan and Iraq, you don't just immediately think, well, that'd be a nice place to go visit, wouldn't it? I bet you could just show up and just start handing out Bibles, couldn't you? No, these are uniquely challenging places, but there's a lot of people there. And there's a lot of people there that are going to live their entire life and never even get a chance of knowing what the truth is. So Christine and I, this has been our personal calling that the Lord has led us to do, and this has been driven by this Great Commission to go into the world and preach the gospel. And part of our calling also, we feel like part of our job is to make people aware of what's going on in the world in some of these places and how the Lord is moving in some of these places that a lot of us have given up on or just completely put out of our mind, because I mean, who would even think that anything good would be going on there? And I know part of that, too, if I say something like that, you might be thinking, oh, great, one more thing to think about or care about. You know, it's like you turn on the news. You can't go through the day without hearing bad stuff happen in the world. It's hard to care about all these things and hear about all these things and actually feel like you can even do anything, because there's not a whole lot we can do to some of this, but we all have a small part. We all have a role that we play. It might not be this big old thing, but we all have a place where we fit in this Great Commission and in this great role, and that's that collective calling that Christina mentioned. So Romans 10, 14 through 5, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So what this has meant for us is being the ones who've carried the gospel. We had to find a way to do that in some of these places where you can't show up and just start building a church. But the Lord has given us unique opportunities through technology and through media. So a lot of you, most of us have phones now. We have some kind of access to the internet, and you're getting ads that pop up all the time that seem to really know what's going on in your head. You start thinking about something you want to buy, and all of a sudden you get all these ads for it, right? It's like whatever you're into, it's just all over your phone now, and all, you know, it's, so that's us. That's the technology that we use, but we're using it for the gospel. We're using it. So some of these places, I mean, what we found through research is that any given population in the whole world, you pick the craziest place in the world, at least 2% of those people are ready to make a drastic faith change. But you got to find them. It's not like they're all sitting in one room just waiting. They're spread out all over the place, but you got to find those people. And a lot of them, it's because they had some dream or vision. Like, I mean, we met this girl in Egypt who, after getting to talk to her, she had a vision when she was a little kid. She went up on the roof of her house, this little Muslim girl, 9 years old, and she started yelling out to the sky, like, God, I want to see the real you. I want to know who you are. And Jesus came out of the clouds and said, I am the way. I mean, can you get more obvious than that? But what do you do with a little kid, you know? There's not, Alex, she could just go down to a church and start asking people about it. But later on in life, she was getting ads on social media, and she was able to talk with people and actually kind of fill in the pieces of what was going on, because her whole little life growing up, she knew that that was the actual truth, but she just didn't know how to, like, take any steps towards that.
I don't know, Anne, if you are able to play the video, but if you want to, you can, but no pressure. Is it possible this way or this way? Oh, you're good. Okay. So basically, that's what we do now. Most of what me and Nathan do is behind a computer, where we're making, because missionaries, they just want to tell people about Jesus. They don't know how to do Photoshop or how to do a graphic design or how to even do Facebook ads. It's a whole other world, right? So that's where we come in. And like right now, I have a whole 3 pages of people, of teams that we're serving right now. We are serving 62 teams where they're like, I just want to tell people about Jesus, but I don't know how to find them. Like we're in the Levant area, India, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, Hungary, all of the Arab world, Chad, Thailand, Belgium. I could go on and on and on. And all these teams, we coach, we serve, we make those ads. We make it so that they can find those people, get face-to-face with them, disciple them, baptize them, and then start churches. Our whole thing is not to have somebody just do a sinner's prayer behind a computer. Our thing is we want to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. So I remember while we were in Egypt, we got to go to a village that no Christian has ever walked. There's still unreached people groups are people that have never heard the name of Jesus, don't have access to the gospel, never spoken to a Christian. And so I was in this village, and I got invited because I was like the token white girl that they're like, oh, I'm getting married, come and be there. But they had no idea what to do with me. So they like put me in a corner on a little pillow, and they were like hanging out doing henna, because before the wedding they always do the henna. And I was like, ah, that's my in. I know how to do henna.
It's like a temporary tattoo.
Yeah, it's a temporary tattoo. So I was like, I'm doing it. So I started doing little kids henna, and soon every woman in the room was like, oh, I want her to do my henna. So I'm sitting there, and I had a tattoo on my foot that has some of my testimony on it. And at first I was like, oh, no. I've ruined my witness, because Muslims do not believe in real tattoos. You know, it's like a sin. And one lady goes, the matriarch actually, was like, what does that mean? And the Holy Spirit the week before had compelled me to learn my whole testimony in Arabic. And I was a new Arabic speaker. So I was like, oh no. So I like practiced day and night how to say my testimony. And as soon as the lady's like, what does that mean? I was like, it's my moment. This is happening. So I had 25 ladies, something like that, enraptured in my story, hanging on my every word. And they would have never gotten to hear that, right? Because that whole village of thousands of people, they've never experienced a person like me. So then I get home and I'm like high off of that experience, right? And then I realize, like, it was a Friday. I'm looking out the window and the streets are being flooded by like hundreds of thousands of people come out on Friday to pray. And I just, it hit me like, man, who will tell them? How are we going to reach them? And that's how Media to Movements was really born, because then we started harvesting this data. People typing, who is Jesus in the Quran? Is Christianity true? Why is Islam so da-da-da-da-da? And we grab onto those and we target them and we send ads to them. And then we start conversations with them. It's pretty dang cool, right? We're using like AI now even to find them. So, yeah. And just a short little blurb, like, him and I met at a missions conference in Ohio, and we both felt the Holy Spirit, like, calling us to Afghanistan. Our story never took us there. We never got to go, right? But recently, I just found out we've been taking care of and coaching and sending ads to a team where they're not in Afghanistan. So if, you know, anyone's watching this stream, like, I won't get in trouble. But they're reaching into this place, right? And in just 18 months, I'm trying to edit stuff. Sorry if I'm pausing. I just don't want to say anything I'm not supposed to. 18 months, the team has seen a verifiable discipleship training movement among a certain group there that no one has ever been able to reach. So what that means so far is 7,800 people documented have been part of this movement. 3 or 4 weeks ago, over 140 baptized churches, house churches have erupted from what our data shows. And that's just in one country that we're serving. So I'm like emotional and giddy, and because I didn't get to go as a woman, young woman, but I got to go now. That's pretty dang cool, right? So we have these kinds of stories happening all over the world right now. And I'm just so thankful that God's still using us to do that. And even now, like, our team still goes in. We're based out of Lafayette, Indiana right now. Our team is all over the United States, remote working. But then we get together and we go into these countries. So our team was just in Ethiopia 2 weeks ago, training a whole coalition of indigenous leaders, Muslim background believers, who are going into Tanzania, Mozambique, Ethiopia, Sudan, and they're making these types of teams so that they can plant the church, And we're just teaching them, hey, hold your phone this way, you know, when you're making a video. And here's how we do the metadata, and here's how you make an ad, and here's da-da-da, and we're just training and constantly doing this, right? So we have a lot of work, and we're really happy to be doing that. So that's us in a nutshell. I know we only have a couple more minutes, but yesterday, as I was praying, I felt like there was something we were supposed to share with you guys specifically. I just want to, I don't know, encourage or exhort this body. And then, so as I was praying, I felt like I was supposed to read Psalms 23 over you. And I understand that everybody's like, oh, Psalms 23, everybody knows that, right? But then this morning when I opened up my Bible for devotion, it was Psalms 23 again. So I was like, okay, somebody in this congregation needs to hear this spoken over them and reminded. Because I understand that it can be overwhelming currently in today's climate where we just have so much media coming at us, right? We have so much news happening, and so many, I don't think the world was ever supposed to know this much global awareness of the tragedies that are happening everywhere, right? It's just a lot. And I feel like we can get overwhelmed by the sadness of it all and feel like it's hard to care because, one, we become desensitized, and two, we become overwhelmed. Whereas, you know, even here in Michigan right now, in your own homes, you're having major issues. You know, some of you might be losing your job. Some of you might be having major conflict with, like, coworkers or bosses. Some of you might be dealing with sickness in your family. It's just, how do we care? How do we get to a place where we can care enough for these people that have never heard? How do we get to a place where we care about the starving in Yemen or the Japanese? You know, they're so far away, and there's so much terrible stuff happening. So I want to read this over you, and just, I feel like it's a promise from the Lord for some of you in this congregation, because Nathan's whole, so we all have a little calling. His big thing that he'll die on is, yes, this is overwhelming. Yes, there's a lot going on, but if you can just get alone with the Lord, everything else just kind of falls away. It's about being in relationship with Jesus. Like, if you can put on some praise and worship music while you're doing the dishes, or if you can get in your deer stand and meditate on a scripture as you're about to murder, you know, a little Bambi, you know. Meditate. I don't know. Whatever you got to do to get alone and quiet that noise, you know. I just feel like the Lord is calling each one of you, each individually, into his presence. So, did you have anything to add before I read? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. So I just want to pray over you all. Whatever that big rock that seems so heavy on you, whatever that chaos swirling around you, those thoughts that are just consuming you at night, I just want you to grab hold of that and offer it to the Lord. Lord, I just ask right now over this congregation who has been such a blessing to us, would you just shepherd them, Father? Shepherd them into your presence. Like, I love that you always go after the one. So even the one that's running away, the one that's getting filthy, the one that's stuck in the briars, would you go after them, Father? Bring them back. Help them to lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters. God, I pray that you would restore their soul. Father, I pray that they would desire righteousness. I pray that you would lead them into their calling. That you would remind them now, like, what life is meant for. Father, I pray that their cup overflows. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in this place right now. Thank you for your presence. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys, we're so glad to see you. I feel like it's like coming home. But yeah. We're still trying to raise monthly support, because our transition got a little bit weird. So if you're like, oh, I have a couple bucks to spare, we have our prayer card. It's funny, because I saw our old prayer cards when Gideon, our oldest, was just a little fat baby, still over there. But we have new ones, so you can take them and, you know, put them on your fridge. And we do prayer updates on Facebook and our secret group. And we also send out, like, newsletters, so I'm like, whenever, because we, like I said, we have a lot of teams. So, like, just recently I had the, what team was it? I can't say it on live streaming, but it was a team in Africa that was like, hey, this is happening. We're getting persecuted heavily. Please pray right now. And so if you want those like updates, please sign up. Our card is back there. All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, really appreciate your ministry. So media to movement is the apparatus that they're using to move people into discipleship. And it's just like the Lord to use current technology. So we're going to do something a little bit different. We'll take our offering now, and then after the offering, we have that young lady who is a firebrand sitting in the near the back of the sanctuary, otherwise known as Mary, coming. And she's going to share an update about OCC. So if I could have, Mike, I guess, would you help Eric? We'll take the offering.
អមមទូថាមានម្នាក់ប្រែចិត្តនគរឋានសួគ៌មានកម្មវិធីជប់នេះអ្វីដែលសំខាន់គឺចេញពីពួកជំនុំជួយក្មេងៗឲ្យគេបានលឺអំពីព្រះយេស៊ូវព្រោះក្មេងៗអនាគតទៅខ្លាចជាមនុស្សធំ ពីជាបរិបទនៅកម្ពុជាពួកគាត់គឺជឿលើអរិយអ្នកតា និយាយរួមក្នុងគម្ពីរអរិយសាតាំងក៏ជឿលើដែរ មកគាត់ជឿព្រះយេស៊ូវប្រឈមមុខប្រឈមមុខនឹងការបៀតបៀនមានសង្គ្រាមខែវិញ្ញាណក្នុងចិត្តរបស់គេហៅថាមានវិញ្ញាណមួយរៀងស្ទះគេរៀងស្ទះឲ្យគេមិនឲ្យគេចង់ជឿព្រះយេស៊ូវទី1ទោះថាចូលចេញទៅចង់បញ្ចូលពុទ្ធសាសន៍ទាំងរៀនគេឲ្យគេបានលើអំពីព្រះយេស៊ូវ
ខ្ញុំទទួលបកដោនៅឆ្នាំ 2024
ចាំតើខកំបត្តិនេះព្រះបានបងកើតបងកើតតែមានផែនដីពេញដល់អំណរមកខ្ញុំជឿថាព្រះមន្ទូដែលយើងបានចែកចាយទៅកាន់គាត់គឺជាជីវិតហើយគឺជាពន្លឺបំភ្លឺក្នុងជីវិតរបស់គាត់ដែរនេះជាភ័យខ្លាចគឺគ្មាននៅក្នុងជីវិតហើយក្រុមតូចនៅកន្លែងនេះចាប់ដើមកើតមានតាមរយៈរោគអេស៊ីដែរ
តាំងពីដែលតាចាប់ដើមពាក្យដំបូងនៅខាគ្រូមកបង្រៀនពាក្យដំបូងកូនខ្ញុំចាប់ដើមចូលបងខ្ញុំរៀនអត់មានន័យស្អីទេអញ្ចឹងតែបើកូនមាននិស័យហើយបញ្ជូនកូនទៅបងវិថាគាត់តាំងចិត្តថាគិតតែចូលព្រះចាំពេលគាត់មកវិញមានអារម្មណ៍ថាគាត់សុបាយចិត្តត្រេកអរវិញមួយក្នុងខ្លួនអញ្ចឹងដឹងថាមិនតែខ្លួនឯងមិនមាននិស័យទេកូនចឹងត្រេកអរក្នុងចិត្តក្នុងខ្លួនអញ្ចឹងបណ្ដោយពាក្យញ៉ាំខើញវាអរទៅ
ហើយមានអានឹងដែរមានហាងសង្គ្រាមហាងមានផងចង់មានទំនាក់ទំនងមួយយើងតាមរយៈដែលយើងចាប់ក្មេងៗអំពីនឹងល្អនេះផ្លាស់ប្រែកូនគាត់ពីតច្រិតដែលមិនត្រឹមត្រូវមកត្រឹមត្រូវហើយពុកម្ដាយនឹងឃើញការអស្ចារ្យគាត់មកពីវាថាត្រឹមមិនស្ទើរដែរព្រោះចង់លេងផងផងទៅអត់ស្ូវតែមកព្រៀនរបស់តកបោទៅពេលរឿងធំ
ចង់ឲ្យកូនរៀនខ្ញុំអត់ចេះសោះដល់មកគាត់រៀនគូគាត់តែចាអត់មកខំខ្ញុំមានអារម្មណ៍ថាត្រេកអរបំផុសក្នុងខ្លួនជាងពេលខ្លះក្រុមគ្រួសារពុកម្ដាយគាត់មានចម្ងល់ឆ្ងល់តើព្រះយេស៊ូវជាអ្នកណាបានអាចផ្លាស់ប្រែអតចរិតកូនគាត់បានតែពេលតាមរយៈការឆ្ងល់នឹងគាត់មកអង្គុយស្ដាប់ហើយយើងក៏រៀនតែគាត់ស្គាល់ល្អព្រះយេស៊ូវជាព្រះដ៏ពិតដែលអាចប្រែកូនគាត់បាន
ខ្ញុំជឿអធិដ្ឋានអានអធិដ្ឋានមកស្ដាប់ឆ្លោះតាខ្ញុំប្រាប់ទៅជឿកូនគាត់ធ្វើម្ដាយកំពុងបាក់ចិត្តទោះគាត់មិនតន់សារភាពថាគាត់ទទួលជឿតែយើងនៅតែមានសេចក្ដីជំនឿសង្ឃឹមថាគាត់នឹងទទួលបានការសង្គ្រោះមកពីព្រះអង្គថ្លៃទៅព្រះអង្គអត់មានបាក់ទឹកចិត្តអីទេ ថាមានម្នាក់ប្រែចិត្តនៅគូឋានសួគ៌មានកម្មវិធីជប់លៀងអ្វីដែលសំខាន់គឺចេញពីពួកជំនុំជួយក្មេងៗឲ្យគេបានលឺអំពីព្រះយេស៊ូវព្រោះក្មេងៗអនាគតទៅខ្លាចជាមនុស្សធំ
Well, if we just heard from Christine and Nathan, God is working everywhere. He can use those techie minds, which I don't have. And he can use children. We've been focused on missions the last couple of weeks, and I want you to know that you are the most mission-minded church that I have ever been involved with. When I took on the position of Operation Christmas Child Project Leader, I had no idea how God was going to open things up so quickly. We had a goal last year of 200 boxes. I don't know that there's a goal that you people won't reach. I'm hearing rumors out there that for our little church, we're doing a fantastic job. We are you. you surpassed that goal of 200 last year. So we made a goal of 300. And you surpassed that too. Your heart for missions is amazing. When you look at the fact that we're supporting like 13, 15 missionaries, that's a lot from a little church like ours. We're not going to set a goal this year, but we will continue the program. As I said before, you can shop, bring things in. You all have kids and grandkids. You know what kids like. There's a big box by the front door if you want to put things in there. Or if you just want to help, there's a little black box on that table that you can put your donation in, and we'll shop for you. That's something I can do. We're all a part of Matthew and the Great Commission. I don't care if you're 80 or 90, or if you're 6, 7, 8 building a box. We can all be used by God. So you reached 331 gospel opportunity boxes. That was what we accomplished this year. So I want you to just picture 331 happy little smiling faces when they open those boxes, and who will hear the gospel because of your giving. God has assembled an awesome team here, and I thank you for making my job so easy. As I've said before, there isn't anything that I've asked that you haven't brought forth. If I needed some wood cut, if I needed toothbrushes, hairbrushes, whatever, I lay it out there. You girls, you people are awesome. So I just want to say God bless you all, and let's see what God's going to do next year. Thank you.
As we close, let's sing together. In Psalm 27:4, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You remember everything I just said now? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Lord, we are so thankful that we got to behold your beauty today through the eyes and stories of Christina and Nathan, and through Mary's effort in shepherding us through the ministry of Operation Christmas Child. And Lord, we pray that those contacts continue. So we pray that these 323 boxes with a gospel opportunity will be opened, and that you will draw by your sovereign grace many of those, like the little girl in the video clip, to your saving side, and that child, many children, opening such boxes will do the same, leading their parents to yourself as well. We pray for this media to movement apparatus, technology that Nathan and Christina are using, as they're able to target people who have an interest, who have a hunger. You said, if you are thirsty, come to the water, and if you have no money, come buy and eat. Wine, milk, and honey without price. And Father, as these hungry souls are looking, we pray that you providentially cause their ads to reach to these people and thereby allow them to direct them to those who can disciple them. We thank you for the marvelous use of technology. We thank you, Father God, for that ministry. So we pray you bless them as they continue working with their 62 teams. And we pray, Father, that you multiply their effort. You said, if we go, you'll go with us. And so, Father, go with Christina and Nathan in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for this dear people here at Ford River Community Chapel. Lord, just cause us to go out from these doors and live as before your face. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.